What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, the podcast where we discuss all things bloody in the horror world. I'm Zena, and welcome back to Zvember. Isn't that spicy? That's a spicy little thing. So while Megan and John are on break each week, I have different guests co-hosting with me. So this week, I'm joined with the dynamic power couple, Chelsea Rebecca and James Janice of Dead Meat. Dead Meat, everything. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you both so much for joining me. We have a treat for everyone today, but before we dive into that, I'm curious to know you guys' like horror backstory. Like, what got you into the genre?
Yeah. I mean, I've said it many times. I am a lifelong fan of horror. For as long as I can remember, I've been exposed to them. And for most of that time, I've been a fan. I was just a little bit afraid of Scream when it was first shown to me as like a 7 or 8 year old. But then quickly overcame those fears and just coded a website to keep track of like how I felt. And this was in like 2000, 2001. And we'll just have horror movie parties that lasted the whole weekend where just like all our friends in the basement watching as many horror movies as we could fit. So lifelong fan here.
Yeah. I came into really loving horror a little bit later in life. I was terrified of horror movies as a child. They also weren't super allowed in the house, more like violent movies, I think. less violent horror movies, maybe like, you know, classics that would have been okay.
For sure.
Yeah, I think when I got into like high school and stuff, that's when, you know, you have sleepovers with the girls, you're going to the video store. That's when we would start watching. That's when I saw a lot of horror movies for the first time. And then I majored in film in college. That's where I met James and took a horror film course. It was like theory and history. And then I just fell in love with it. That course really changed how I viewed the genre, and yeah, there was just no going back.
Yeah, the first movie we ever watched as a couple was Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, see, there you go, lifelong in love and lifelong horror fans, right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm curious to know. We can do this as it could be something that's older or something that's newer. Is there a horror movie that really creeps you out that still gets under your skin, or recently just like blew your mind and got under your skin?
Ooh, I like this is, I feel like normally we just get asked like what our favorites are, which is fine. I always love talking about our favorites. I mean, we love Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Thing.
Yeah.
But as far as, ooh, something that actually really scared me. I think my answer for that, until something else messes me up just as much, is going to be Lake Mungo.
Ooh, yeah.
Mungo genuinely really frightened me. And we watched it in our bedroom in the dark. And I just still can't stop thinking about it. And we watched that like years ago at this point.
Yeah.
But that movie, I think, is so scary and so disturbing. And it does so much with so little.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I think a recent experience we had watching a movie and being like creeped out was Hell House LLC. We watched that pretty recently. Same thing in the room with the lights off. And like, I feel like we were both on edge and scared the whole time. But honestly, the thing I think of when I hear like chills or creeped out is we saw Annihilation in theaters and the whole like last 20 minutes of that movie with like the sound design and the music and what she's seeing and what she's seeing evidence of is just so unnerving to me. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my favorite movie watching experiences. And I just remember being like, this feels cosmic and existential and just like, it's so terrifying to me. And I loved it.
Awesome. Like all just great picks, like Annihilation. Sometimes at night, not TMI. Well, you know, you have to get up, you have to go to the bathroom. You're thirsty. Yeah. Okay. I hear that bear, like the bear or whatever, like that animal. Like it's just
scare bear.
Yeah.
Stresses me out. Okay.
There's
so much
iconic imagery in that movie.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't even thinking of the bear. I was thinking of like her weird body double at the end.
Oh.
And I'm always big fan of contemporary dance as a horror finale.
Like Us.
Like in Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. More of that, please. I love it.
For sure. Okay. So we kind of touched on like cosmic horror. Is that a favorite of you guys, or do you have like a favorite subgenre in horror?
Yeah, we get asked this a lot, and I never have a satisfying answer.
I'm realizing when I look at my top three kind of favorite horror movies, which are like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, American Psycho, and The Wicker Man, the original. I kind of think, I don't know if this is like a subgenre, but I think I tend to like horror when the horrifying thing in it is just real people. There's not anything supernatural going on. It is just like the horror of other people.
I mean, Midsommar you like a lot too, and that's the same thing.
Yes,
right?
I love Midsommar.
Yeah.
I guess folk horror maybe. I like
that's
folk horror
you,
quite
feel.
A bit. Uh-huh. But
I've never use this as an answer because I guess part of me deep down inside would be worried about how it is taken, but found footage, man. I love found footage.
I love found footage too. I'll back you up on that
thank
forever.
You, because
it's so good.
Like there are plenty of stinkers in the subgenre, but that's the case for any subgenre. And I feel like found footage is the one that most consistently gets me creeped out and buying into the verisimilitude and the reality of the situation makes me forget that I'm watching a movie. And I love it when that happens, and it's rare. But so maybe found footage. And I think Home Invasion also has a lot of really
nice.
Good gems in it.
For sure. Yeah, I know my co-host, John, he absolutely loves found footage. And even when you both mentioned like Hell House LLC, he's probably going to be screaming. He's obsessed with the movie. So really cool stuff. Okay. So with Christmas being next month, we're going to create the ultimate holiday horror list for you guys. We'll be sharing our top three holiday horror movies. And then at the end of the movies that we picked, we'll create that ultimate list. So
yeah.
Time
and
two.
And you say holiday horror, but I did interpret that as Christmas horror. Maybe I should have broadened it out a little bit.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Christmas horror. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, maybe in a few years we'll have enough Hanukkah.
Is there a Hanukkah horror?
They're starting to make some.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So cool.
I'm excited to like get those into the fold because it's been dominated by just Christmas too long. But so maybe in a few years we can broaden it out. But I feel like right now holiday horror tends to mean more often than not Christmas horror. So that's what I Googled for my suggestions. And from that is what I chose my movies.
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited. I'm excited to know you guys' list. I'm a little bit nervous too.
Yeah,
I just get anxious when it
We intentionally chose
different from each other. Different.
Yeah, so we have six different movies between the three of us. I'm guessing that I'm going to make a bold claim, and I'm going to guess that all three of yours are represented between the two of ours.
I think so.
Because there are certain just classics that you
There's
expect.
There's one I feel very confident about being.
Yeah, yeah. But how do you want to start this? Do you want to start or do you
oh
want,
my gosh, no. I was going to see if we could do it, you know, if Chelsea could go first and then James and then I'll go.
Great.
Okay, well, I'll do, speaking of my tendency to love horror movies where the central, like, villain or the horror conceit of it is just a regular old guy causing trouble, I'm going to say Christmas Evil.
Off with Christmas Evil.
We'll start with Christmas Evil. We'll start a little bit more obscure, and then I'm going to work my way into movies that probably everyone listening to this podcast has seen before. But
it's a staple.
Yeah. I feel like as far as killer Santas go, Harry is down there. He's not one of the more popular ones.
I was joking that I wanted to do, because I don't think there's enough killer Santas to make this work, but I wanted to do a killer Santa kind of bracket on the podcast where we make all of the horror Santas fight each other. But I mean, that's just David Harbour is just going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, him versus Goldberg actually is a pretty.
That would be the finals.
I mean, it would just be those two. And then, Silent Night, Deadly Night, and Christmas Evil.
Basically, there are others out there. There's isn't there that Robo Santa in? Christmas Bloody Christmas, is that what it is? All the names start to run together.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but there is a Robo Santa out there. But,
You're right.
Harry's just a regular ass guy.
He's just a regular blue collar guy who lives in a weird house that is themed to Santa Claus. He's like the Santa version of Maniac a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
Harry's angry, so maybe with that energy, that angry energy, I don't know. I believe in him. He could.
And it's a righteous anger, too. He so believes in what he is doing.
Yeah, he's he's the black and white of morality. Like, it is, his world is good versus evil. And if you haven't seen Christmas Evil before, that's easily the most obscure movie that I have picked. The other two movies are less original choices. But Christmas Evil is the killer's motivation in this film is that he saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. And I think that is such a funny conceit for a serial killer. Well, he counts as a serial killer. He's killed more than...
He kills four people in different spaces, too. Yeah, yeah.
But it's so funny to have as a killer's motivation. And I just think it's delightful. when is it from, the late 70s?
I think it's 1980, basically late 70s.
Okay, awesome pick.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've seen that before.
I have, yeah. I felt bad for him. You know, he was having a bad day, and it just kept on getting worse. And I mean, I would never, go on a killing spree, but he was pushed to the limit, I guess.
Yeah, by his super capitalist boss and workplace. There's a lot of, working class.
Yes, that's why I like it so much. There's so much class commentary in it because he is a he's like a factory worker
and he's middle management, right?
Yeah, he gets promoted. Mm-hmm. He starts as a factory worker in this toy factory making very generic Christmas toys.
The most generic.
And he gets promoted to be middle manager, and there's this tension where it's his former coworkers won't stop teasing. They're just the most blue collar union guys. They're all my uncles, pretty much. And they're teasing this dude for getting promoted. And he also doesn't quite fit in with the people who technically they're his, he's a member of their class now.
Yeah.
He doesn't quite fit in.
Collar executive class. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't quite fit in with them either. And I love all of that going on.
It's great.
And I don't know. There's something about it's this kind of wintry factory aesthetic. And there's even a union Christmas party, which my dad worked in a in a car factory when I was a kid. He was a tinsmith. And so I have all these memories of going going to Christmas parties like the one in the movie on the factory floor. And they, at least at ours, they would have stuff for the kids. They would have like costume characters walking around and like games and stuff. This one is just like kids, I guess, like, go entertain yourselves while the adults get drunk. But yeah, I don't know. There's something that feels very nostalgic to me about this movie. And also the fact that Santa's sleigh in this is just a creeper, a white creeper van that has a sleigh painted on it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And you know what's funny too? Like when he, you know, as the movie goes on, he just becomes more and more unhinged, right? Mm-hmm. And like the way he just runs away and the look in his eyes, like clearly, you know, like he clearly snapped, but like the actor, he did an incredible job because I believed him. Like I believed that he was truly crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Weird cast of that movie too, because that guy's Fiona Apple's dad. And I, actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I just wonder if they ever talk about it. Do they watch it on Christmas?
Yeah, Fiona seen that movie?
Do they celebrate Christmas? I don't remember if she is, like, I don't know what their actual religious denomination is. That you've got, what's his face? Hector Salamanca from Breaking Bad is in it.
Guy from Succession is in there.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a very bizarre cast on a very bizarre movie. Love it.
Nice. Good pick. Okay, and your turn, James.
All right, so I'm going to start with my favorite.
We fought over who got
to. I know, I called it, I did. I was like, this one's not mine.
We love it so much.
It is my favorite Christmas horror movie of all time. And it's not like a longstanding classic, so I'm happy to go against the grain on what other people's choices are for that. But better watch out. Absolutely love, blew my mind first time I saw it, and every time I watch it, it just feels more relevant, unfortunately. And it's so entertaining. I hesitate to talk too much about it because I think it is one of those movies
where it's so worth going in not knowing,
completely blind. If you know nothing about this movie, please watch it. It's an Australian movie from 2014, 15, like mid 2010s. And it's just so effing good. I love it. And again, I don't want to say too much more without spoiling it, because watching it unfold without knowing where it's going is so rewarding and surprising. And the acting in it is so good, because Olivia De Jong, I think is how you say her name, who was in, what was the M. Night Shyamalan, The Visit with the grandparents? Yeah, she's in that. She's in some other things, and she is just amazing in this role, as is the young boy playing the, because she's playing a babysitter who's watching over a kid and his best friend who's staying over, and then like a home invasion starts, and that's all I'll say about the movie. But the themes of the film are touched upon in such a honest way, I think, like a very real way that reflects a lot of real life issues. There's a lot of I don't know. I hesitate to use a buzzword that might get people mad, but like it's toxic masculinity and the entitlement that some dudes feel towards women and what they deserve and everything. And I don't know. I just think it's handled in a way that's like entertaining and sometimes funny, but mostly like disturbingly real.
Yeah, it's like dark humor, which I think is really fun.
Yeah. And
I wouldn't like this movie as much if it took itself so seriously.
It'd be too depressing,
because that's what makes the commentary in it work, is handling it with a touch of like, with handling it with like a wink and oh my god, sorry, Molly has opinions on it.
Molly.
Yes, our dog Molly. But yes, and also just her character, I think, really makes that movie and its themes handled so well, because she's so no nonsense and like such a, you know, strong female character, but like she is just like she won't put up with this shit, and she calls it out, and I love it. I just love that movie so much.
That is an awesome pick. That one almost made my list. Almost. Okay. Man, yeah, the boy who plays Luke, is it?
Yeah, Luke's the character's name.
Woo! His performance is incredible. Okay, I'm gonna stop because no spoilers. Okay. So my pick, I went with a favorite of mine, and that is Dead End from 2003.
Oh, yeah. Well, my theory's out the window because that is not on either of our lists. And in fact, I've never seen it.
Yeah, I don't know this.
And I don't know if I've heard of it. So can you please enlighten us?
Yes, I'll tell you everything. Okay, 2003.
I'm so curious because this 2003 is a weird spot.
Yeah,
in horror.
That is. If you asked me to give like a range of like what were just really kind of downer years for horror,
2003 would be up there. It's like pre-torture porn boom. It's like maybe still in the midst of the Japanese imports and stuff. But
yeah,
like,
that would be.
But teen slashers are kind of dead by this point. So like, yeah, what is this movie?
We were getting some weird stuff in 2003. One that sticks out, I remember watching Dreamcatcher in theaters. And
Yes!
That was an experience.
Does Dreamcatcher count as a Christmas movie?
Right, it's winter, it's snowy.
In like a cabin. And my God, that movie, dude.
Morgan Freeman Santa Claus just helicopters in.
There you go.
An hour into the movie and you're like, wait, where did you come from? And then you're like, oh, we still have an hour and a half left of this thing.
It's true. Yeah. So this one, I think with Dead End, I think I watched it on cable. I was in high school and it has a really cool cast. Lynn Shay is in it. Ray Wise is in it. It feels very 2000s-y horror, you know, like even if you were to watch like the trailer, it has words flying at you, some guitar music. Like, I love it. So it has a very dark humor and a creepy atmosphere. It's basically about this family that they're taking a road trip. They're going somewhere in the middle of the night. And Ray Wise, he's the dad. He decides to take a different route, you know? And it's just like, oh no, right? So this is one of my favorite Christmas themed movies, but also one of my favorite like indie movies in general. So, you know, you have the son, you have the daughter and her boyfriend. The son is just a terrible, like, teenage boy. For some reason, he's carrying around a porno magazine. Like, your family is there, you know? But yeah, as stuff starts to unfold, some weird things start to happen on the road. No spoilers, but the family, they get out of their car a couple of times. And it's like, at this point, come on, what are you doing? You know? And it's like a classic dark road. And you do get attached to the family because you just want them to have a great Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's all you want. So I remember when I first watched it, it creeped me out. I recently rewatched it. This was like during the summer for some reason. I need a little razzle dazzle. And yeah, there's still like some creepy parts that's in there. Like, I don't want to give away the spoilers, but basically,
I watch this now.
It's so good. It's free on Tubi and Peacock. It's like everywhere. It's everywhere with that. But yeah,
what's it called again? I'm sorry.
Dead End.
Dead End. Okay.
Yeah. You'll also see a lot of familiar faces.
I don't know what I was expecting, but 75% on Rotten Tomatoes for a movie that came out in 2003.
A horror movie,
Horror movie, rather, is actually, that must mean it's pretty damn good, because.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays critics are a little more fair towards
forgiving,
horror.
Uh-huh.
But back then, it was like, oh, it's horror, nope, not good.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Cool. I love finding out about new, because that's the thing. We, all of us, talk about horror movies for a living. So we see and watch so many of them, but it's never ending.
There's always ones you haven't seen.
There's always new ones of every flavor to find and learn about and discover and to be like, oh, this is my jam. Like, I thought I had seen all of my favorite horror movies, but
like,
no, this
haven't.
One.
No one has, except maybe Joe Bob Briggs.
He's the only one who's seen them all.
Okay, so then we're going to go back to Chelsea.
Ooh, I'm trying to think of which one I want to talk about next, because I feel like the next two I picked are just very standard classics. Mm-hmm. I guess I guess Gremlins, you know?
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
Why not Gremlins? It's
fun for the whole family.
It is fun for the whole family, except for if you're a dad who's dressed as Santa Claus and you want to surprise your family by going down the chimney. Then it's not fun for the whole family.
Oh my God.
But besides that, we're having a great time. I mean, I don't know. What is there to say about Gremlins that has not already been
said. Yeah, I mean, well, there's always people who are going to be like, that's not a horror movie. And whatever, it's a horror movie and a comedy and mm-hmm. an adventure movie and a family film. Like, it's all those
it's
things.
It's a horror movie. Joe Dante yeah. made, I mean, Joe Dante also made Looney Tunes Back in Action, which is not a horror movie, but...
I could see the argument that Gremlins 2 isn't horror, because that's its own thing entirely. That's its own genre. Yeah. Gremlins 2 is its own standalone genre. But yeah, Gremlins is horror.
Yeah, for sure.
It's scary. It's got little monster critters mm-hmm.
There's
around.
Kills in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some fun kills.
Yeah.
And I was terrified of Gremlins as a kid, so.
Yeah, when they get mean, they're scary.
I just, like, I didn't see the actual movie until I was a bit older. But I knew of Gremlins, I think just through, like, you know, cousins and stuff, like friends mm-hmm. who had seen it. And it was just in the pop culture kind mm-hmm. of atmosphere. And I remember, like, knowing the rules of Gremlins, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like everyone just knew that. You can't get them wet.
Can't feed them after midnight. Yep.
And then I just, having not seen the movie, I assumed all of them were scary, including Gizmo. So Gizmo scared me Aww. As a kid because I just thought
he had, I
didn't know until I saw it like as more of an adult that like, oh, Gizmo is like a cute little baby the whole time. He doesn't get
Originally he was supposed to turn into Stripe, and it's such a good move that he doesn't.
But as a kid, I thought that he did, and mm-hmm. that's him being all cute was so scary to me because he. I knew that, like, no, he has the potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he's just sweet the whole time.
And I like how to even circumvent that fear of the cute becoming evil. They even the ones that turn into gremlins when mm-hmm. they're Mogwai, like, they're still a little goofy looking. Like, they're not as cute as Gizmo. So it's not like you don't have to fall in love with these things that are then going to turn evil. They're already kind of like...
It's like even before they go all scary, they're all kind of mean. Like they're all mean to Gizmo.
Yeah.
And they're still fluffy and the cute versions of gremlins, but they're not like Gizmo.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've all got kind of silly caricature faces almost.
So a question for you both. Would you want a gremlin now? I mean, just follow the rules.
Like no. How can you keep it from getting wet?
And I feel like they, because even Gizmo, like, would get into stuff he's not supposed to. And I feel like you have to, he's like a baby or like a toddler. Like, friends I know who are parents say that having a toddler is just constantly watching this living thing and making sure it doesn't kill itself. Like that, and they will always, they just try and find, it's like they're constantly just trying to unknowingly.
Like they're programmed to, like. Just accidentally hurt themselves. Yeah.
And that's what Gizmo is. And he's the good one. So.
And keeping them from being wet. I got my sock wet this morning because someone dropped ice out of the water dispenser of the fridge and didn't pick it up and it melted and I stepped in it. Yeah. Like, boom, there you go. Gremlins everywhere. Just because of that.
I mean, maybe he could, him or her, you can put them in a cute little sweater. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a cage. You put them in a cute little cage.
No. It's like,
well, now we have bigger problems on our hands. It's ethical dilemmas.
Not at all. But yeah, okay, good pick.
I love Gremlins. And of course, you get Dick Miller in there. Yeah. So
we love Dick Miller.
Yeah. Any chance he pops up, it's always a good time. Okay, so I'm going to cheat a little bit for my next pick, okay? Because here's what I'm going to propose. My pick is the entire franchise of Silent Night, Deadly Night. Because here's my reason, okay? I love that. And I'm excluding the remake, but you know what? You can even put that in there because it's a solid remake. I love how friggin' weird that franchise is and how crazy it gets and unrelated to itself it gets in like 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
But... when I think of each movie as an individual movie, I could never pick any of them for like a favorite holiday movie because individually they're all so flawed that I would be like, no, that couldn't be in my top three. But as a whole, I'm so happy for that franchise to go through what it does because
the sum is greater than its parts.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's a exactly. Cause that first movie is the most straightforward one. It's like a slasher.
It's so grimy. First one makes me so uncomfortable.
I think there are three like sexual assault scenes. Yeah, so it's very uncomfortable in that regard. I do love Billy as a character just because he's just so damaged. He's like an even more messed up version of Harry from Christmas Evil because he's just like, at least Harry, you see a little bit of the thought process. Yeah. Billy is just like, naughty!
Yeah, and it's sweaty. Just in
this arrested development kind of mode. So, but the first one, it is grimy, and I kind of like the grime. I love the grandpa that scares the crap out of his grandson. And it's got some great kills, like the antlers with Linnea Quigley. But yeah, it does have like a meanness to it and a weirdness that is a little off-putting. And then you have part two, which is half just recap of that movie and half weird crime movie with Eric Freeman doing the garbage day. So it's like, and Garbage Day is, of course, the most memeified line from that, but there are other choice lines. Mm-hmm. Like when the detective is like writing down notes and Eric Freeman's like, red car, good call, or something like that. And it's just these insane deliveries that makes that so entertaining. And then the third one is possibly one of the most boring movies I've ever seen.
Is that the, like, there's like a witch or something?
No, see, that's not that one. The third one is so boring, no wonder you don't remember it. Yeah. But the crazy thing is that it has Bill Moseley, one of the most electric, dynamic people in horror films, playing the killer, possibly, I believe he's playing Eric Freeman's character because his name is still Ricky, but his like brain is exposed. He's got like a glass bowl around his head and he is just catatonic. His character portrayal of that is just catatonic, boring ass killer. And then it's just shot so poorly. The other actors aren't doing anything interesting. It is such a forgettable horror movie that I find it fascinating by how bad it is. Oh, I think, actually, isn't the protagonist like a blind psychic?
She is.
Okay, so it does have that going for it. That's great. I'm happy for him. But the fourth one is then just so out of left field, a witch.
Yeah, this is what I remember.
Evil feminist cult. And
there's a ton of like bugs and stuff.
With bugs made by Screaming Mad George. Clint Howard is there as this weird dirty man running around. And it's just like this... It's the most stereotypical, like, oh, the feminazis are going to come for you. And it's like, they're going to seduce your women and turn them all into lesbians. And it's so weirdly, I don't know what the point of that movie is, but it's fascinating to watch. I think it's a use in the movie, too.
Oh,
so it's like got a sexy element to it.
And say a little sleazy.
Uh-huh, very sleazy. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth one, you get friggin' Mickey Rooney.
There you go,
making a robot boy who has an Oedipus complex, and they're just like, oh God, it's like killer toys. You have like a little bit of a demonic toys element to it.
It's nuts that the Mickey Rooney one is in that franchise.
Because he wrote about the first movie being an abomination. He like wrote to newspapers about, he was
he was one of the, I was going to mention part of the reason that I think that first one is great and deserves a place in the Christmas pantheon is because there were protests against it when it came out. Parents were very concerned about a killer Santa Claus being represented on screen, and it was yanked from like a bunch of theaters. It was genuinely controversial, and I love a controversial horror movie. That's always exciting to me. I didn't know Mickey Rooney.
He was part of that moral outcry.
He's like such an American golden boy.
Yeah. But then he turns around and is in the fifth one, and it's so all those things together. And then the remake, like I said, is a serviceable remake. It's not like a direct beat-for-beat remake of the first one. It's more like taking just the concept of Killer Santa and doing its own thing with it. And it's got good acting in it, and it's kind of like well-made technically. So I think it's entertaining enough as its own, and it's very gory too, which has that going for it. So I think collectively all those movies, I am fascinated that they are all part of a single franchise. And so I will, with your permission, select the entire franchise as my second pick.
I say because you know I might be biased, but I'm a fan of this ridiculous franchise. I just love it so much, especially part four. I love Clint Howard. Like, he's always playing some dirty man for some reason, you know.
Just very off-putting.
This one is so gross. Like, I'm not a fan of bugs. You can hear the sounds. It is very much used. It feels like him, you know? It's so random. Like, I think it could have just been a movie of its own, like, not even a part of the franchise,
honestly. It probably
was. Yeah.
No, they probably just slapped
a Hellraiser where they just grab a
I don't know for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised. Because, like, what does it have to do with anything else in Silent Night, Deadly Night? At least the third one ostensibly was the same character from the second one. The fourth one is just completely random. Mm-hmm. And then Clint Howard's in the fifth one, too, playing maybe the same character from the fourth one, even though he died. It makes no sense.
Yeah, the main girl from the fourth one, she's in the fifth one too as the mom's friend, just on the sideline. Like, it's just,
why? What is going on there?
Okay, cool. So for my second pick, I'm gonna go with Anna and the Apocalypse.
Nice. Okay. Again. Yeah. This one we've heard of extensively, but we still haven't watched it. And so
I think you'll enjoy it.
Might just give us like all these new ones to watch.
Yeah, the movies we haven't seen. I know we have, like, I feel so bad we haven't watched Anna and the Apocalypse.
Because it's a musical, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a musical.
I'm so scared I'm not going to like it. I think because people like it so much that I'm afraid I'm going to watch it and be like the one person that doesn't like it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that anxiety before?
I don't mind musicals, you know. Sometimes this is obviously not like a horror movie, but Frozen, I couldn't do like this. They just kept on singing. So it's not like this. And the songs are really good. Like the songs slap. Like it's like a horror, but it's like Glee. You know what I mean? So it just meshes well. And plus it has zombies in it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It has like a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of gore. The gore is fun. Basically, it's like you see this schoolgirl. It starts off kind of like a normal day, but then it just completely just turns. Just my point. Oh, sorry. That was my cat. She scared me. I thought it was a ghost. I just finished watching like binging some ghost movies. Okay, never mind. Rabbit hole. Point is, it's basically. It's a horror musical, and I just feel like with this type of, if musicals were done like this one, I feel like more people would be into it. And I'm saying this as someone who's not, sometimes, you know, when, I know it's not a Disney movie, but think about like a Disney movie where it's just like, they sing a song, they wake up in the morning, and then 2 minutes later, there's another song. So it's not like that. It's like spaced out, and they still give enough horror for it to be like really enjoyable.
Okay.
And the gore.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was musical. I knew it was zombies. I didn't necessarily know that it was very gory. That's always entertaining to watch. And do you know offhand what year that's from? Because I forget.
It is from 2017.
Okay, so mid-late 2010s. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's been on our list for years.
Yeah, because we like musicals.
We love musicals.
Yeah, okay, so
awesome. We love
musicals.
Yeah, because you're talking about like there's another song. I'm like, yeah, give me more songs. More songs. Just back to back, please. Because there are some musicals that are just songs, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like where they're totally sung through. I mean, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yep,
is entirely one of our favorites. Sung through. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is my favorite.
I mean, Hamilton, basically.
Yeah.
Hades Town.
Hell yeah, yeah. So we're big fans of musicals. So I feel like we're predisposed to like this movie. Mm-hmm. And I forget, is it from another country? Or is it a U.S. movie?
It is. I think it might be. I don't want to say that it's Australian. Somebody's probably yelling right now that it's not.
Is it English language, though?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So yeah, maybe it's like.
It is British.
It's British. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And the same director, he just directed Dear David.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing some buzz about that.
Literally, the BuzzFeed horror movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it an influencer horror movie or just more like...
It kind of started from Twitter. There was this guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Plus he knows.
Yeah. It was like a comic artist who basically started this like Twitter thread about weird stuff happening in his
That's
house.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they made it into a movie.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay. It is. Looked it up. Oh, the guy is from Scotland.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Okay, just have to look that up.
Yeah. Like we're glancing through the cast. I don't recognize anyone, but I'm. Yeah, it just sounds cool. Oh, Shaun of the Dead meets La La Land. I see one blurb.
Yeah.
We should watch this.
Yeah, we'll definitely watch it.
Save it for over Christmas break or something.
That'll be nice. Yeah. Get some, we're going to try to make butter beer like from Universal. You know, like warm butter beer. Or,
oh, yeah. Well, also, I found a recipe because apparently butter beer, like actual buttered beer, is a recipe from the 1500s England. It's like a Tudor era recipe, and somehow it was like saved. Like, we know exactly what the recipe for this one, or like a version of that recipe, still exists.
Yeah,
and you can make it at like accurate to how it would have been made, and
let's make some
butter beer. See if we like it. Yeah. It literally is just, it's like buttered beer with spices and stuff. We'll see.
That sounds so good.
Yeah.
Okay, before you do tell us like your final choice, Chelsea, could you give us a recap of your list?
Okay, so Christmas Evil and Gremlins are my choices so far.
Mm-hmm.
And my last choice, I feel like this feels like cheating, I think, because it is just, it's such a good movie in general. And I think, especially in recent years, this movie has really become a favorite. It's Black Christmas. I gotta pick Black Christmas.
The first of the three Black Christmases.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bob Clark's Black Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah. Again, just like with Gremlins, what is there to say about Black Christmas that has not been said? I guess it's a little, in terms of like pop culture at large, this one is less well-known than Gremlins. But Black Christmas is... I don't know. I just love how feminine this movie is. Like, this, it's such interesting female characters, especially for when it was made. And what? I forget.
74.
Yeah.
74.
Well, the same year as Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because those two, like the pre-Halloween.
Yes. Yeah. Like, Black Christmas is, like, you know, people often say, like, Halloween. I think people wrongly maybe claim that Halloween's like that is the first slasher, and like it's what made slashers really popular.
Yeah.
Black Christmas is like a pre-Halloween slasher.
And one that John Carpenter just admits, like, I just wanted to do that with a different holiday.
He was
like, Black Christmas.
It's got the POV killer shot. Yep. Sam.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, like the lead character in Black Christmas, I wrote a whole essay about this movie in college for that horror film course I talked about, because
very
I just
cool.
was so like moved by it and by this character. Like, she, especially for when this is made, like, she is such an empathetic portrayal of a really fully fleshed out young woman who gets pregnant unexpectedly, and she wants an abortion and is not sorry about it. It causes tension with her and her boyfriend, who, I don't know, it's just, it's so cool how this movie is in a kind of political, like, and it's not afraid of that. And I think it just makes her so much more interesting as a kind of final girl, which she is, and she directly goes against the kind of horror movie rule of the final girl needing to be very virginal and innocent because she's explicitly not. And I think that's why I love it so much. And on top of that, it's genuinely scary. Yeah. Especially the ending where it's her being chased around the house by the killer. There's some really great unexpected scares that are just like the choreography of some of the scares in the end is just so great. It's lots of misdirection of where the camera wants you to look on screen mm-hmm. versus where something is actually going to pop out. And the final shot of the movie with the phone ringing in the house, and it's just kind of quiet and there's no music or anything. And it's the reveal that like, no, it's not over. And that it gives me chills thinking about it. It's such a cool ending.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so many movies today, horror and otherwise, feel the need to explain every little thing about them. And Black Christmas is so confident that it's like, this killer, you don't know anything about him.
Yes.
You don't learn anything about him.
There's no, he's just left kind of a weird mystery. And there's little things you can maybe piece together, but like that, no.
Yeah, it's just some mystery force out there killing these people. And I do think it's hilarious that the remake from 2006 takes the little phone snippets that we get in the original and then devises this entire insane like incest backstory for Billy and Agnes, and they're like jaundiced and they're eating eyeballs and stuff. It's a disgusting movie that I can respect for how disgusting it is, but like nothing touches that original.
Yeah.
And it feels like such a modern depiction of these characters and these mm-hmm. issues. And you have the house mom, who's
oh my
hilarious.
Gosh, yes, the house mother, who is just this older, very drunk woman. She has a problem, but
oh,
we
yeah.
love her.
She's hiding pints and toilet tanks problem.
Oh,
like, that is a
this
problem.
This woman is, like, borderline just drinking mouthwash to get drunk. But we yeah. love her. She knows how to party.
And, like, the dad comes over to the sorority house looking for his missing daughter, and she has
oh,
to, like...
she covers up the nudie poster.
Yeah. I love it.
It's so
yeah.
good.
It's
yeah.
a classic for a reason.
It really is. And I still feel like it's for people who are new to horror. I still feel like they could like check it out and enjoy
yeah.
it. You know,
yeah. it's one of the ones
it's
that I should
enough.
Check
yeah.
out as like just a fundamental.
It feels so modern. Mm-hmm. And I also just love that it's made by Bob Clark, who also yeah. made A Christmas Story, which is my favorite Christmas movie in general.
That guy's got to have one of the weirdest filmographies
yes,
ever. Porky's? What the
yeah.
f***? Like,
yeah, rest in peace, Bob Clark.
Yeah.
Like,
R.I.P.
Canadian legend. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And James, could you give us a recap on your picks before diving into your final one?
For sure. My picks are best Christmas horror movie ever, Better Watch Out. I mean, Black Christmas is too, but,
yeah.
And the entirety of the Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise just as one collective entry. My third entry is a fun for the whole family, kind of like Gremlins. It's Krampus. It's mm-hmm. Krampus, everyone. I think it has a lot of respect nowadays. Everyone recognizes Trick or Treat and Krampus as Mike Dougherty's wonderful contributions to the genre, where they're very fun and playful. Trick or Treat has a bit more of a meaner spirit to it and more gore. Krampus manages to be a PG-13, fun entry-level horror for everyone to experience. And it's, you know, I love that it's this dysfunctional family that learns the meaning of Christmas because a Krampus is trying to come around and kidnap them all. And it's a great cast, a lot of wonderful comedic actors. Got David Koechner in there, mm-hmm. right? And just doing the David Koechner thing, just being bald and boisterous, just as like the uncle.
Yeah.
And oh man, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Like I feel like this is like the perfect movie to watch with your family.
Yeah. yeah.
Regardless, problems, happy family, you need to watch it.
Yeah, it's got a good amount of little scares, but also, like I said, just a lot of fun, and the effects are great with the practical, like, Jack in the Box and all those things coming to life, and then you got, like, these little CGI gingerbread man running around, I think voiced by Seth Green, maybe,
oh,
and
sure.
and they're doing
so
their thing.
Cute.
You got a fun little dog.
The Krampus design is cool, too, because at first I didn't understand what I was looking at.
Right.
But once I realized, oh, wait, that's not
It's not his face.
It's wearing Santa Claus as a mask.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's great. Yeah. And Krampus, you know, has, I feel like, really had his moment the past decade, really coming to his own in pop culture as just this, like, the antithesis of Santa Claus. He's coming around. He's got his little...
His switch
just slapping the naughty kids.
Sack.
Yeah, I mean, I've got this Krampus shirt on right now. It's not like the movie Krampus. It's just a silly little Krampus with some kids in a basket behind him. Mm-hmm. Those kids are going to get switched, man. Mm-hmm. And we ain't talking Nintendo.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So just my first two that I picked, Dead End, 2003, Anna and the Apocalypse, 2017. And then my final one, P2, because this one stresses me out. Like, you ever watch a movie that just makes your armpits so sweaty, like where it's just no matter how many times you've seen this movie, I feel like that's what it does for me. So it's basically about this woman. She's getting off work and she basically just gets trapped inside like this parking garage on Christmas Eve with this psychopath who dances to Elvis. You know, I did hear some women say like, oh, well, would it really be that bad? Because, you know, they think the guy is good looking, you know, so, but he's a psychopath. Like the stuff that he does, he trapped her. Like it's just one of those movies that I love watching. And no matter how many times I see it, It just makes my anxiety just rise super high.
Oh my, this is another one we have not seen.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're recommending.
Oh my gosh.
I apologize for thinking that we would just have the same entries because I should have had more respect for your deep picks and just your breadth of that. Because you were talking about how you had a hard time picking just three, and I was like, I had a hard time picking the six between the two of us. But
another 2000s horror.
Yeah.
I'm loving this. This is so cool that you have that you're picking these that we can go and watch and oh my gosh, experience. Yay.
I hope that you guys enjoy it. It gets a little dark. Like, again, I mean, I love rewatching it, you know, but it's just the kind of movie that will kind of stress you out. But the performances are great. Wes Bentley, like, that's the guy who plays.
I was like, okay, I get why people are like, no, but he's sexy. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no.
that's giving me like Red Eye, where
yes,
it's this tense Killian situation.
He's extremely similar sexy thing going in that on. Movie, but yeah.
It's so crazy because even when you think about like an underground parking lot, yeah, it could be creepy. The movie majority of the time takes place underground in the lot, and it's like what they do.
That's another, we were talking about subgenres and I mentioned home invasion, but I think in general, one location.
Mm-hmm. One location,
like No Exit from last year was really good. Uh-huh. And Hush is so good. And so this sounds very appealing.
Yeah.
And it's in what way is it a Christmas movie? Is it just like takes place?
It takes place on Christmas Eve. So The woman, she's a workaholic, kind of. Mm-hmm. Some will say that, but she's about to leave and she's waiting for her cab. And I'll just stop there because, you know, spoilers. But it's a wild ride. Like, again, it just always stresses me out all the time.
Is the title P2 like the level of the parking garage that she's on?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Great.
Ooh, maybe I'll watch that when I'll put on stuff to watch while I'm working out. Maybe I'll watch that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do it.
I'm so excited that you gave us three recommendations and only one that I was kind of familiar with, mm-hmm, with Anna and the Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. The other two, I think I saw P2 when I Googled Christmas horror movies, but mm-hmm, I didn't know what it was, and it sounds very appealing.
Okay, cool. I hope that you do check it out and hope that you both enjoy it.
Yeah.
So now we have to create from the list that we pulled that perfect list, the ultimate list.
Yeah.
So we can start with Chelsea's picks first. So she picked Christmas Evil, Gremlins, Black Christmas. So we have to pick one.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Tough. I mean, I feel like the most kind of deserving is just Black Christmas to me feels so ultimate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, Gremlins is great. It's a fun movie, but like Black Christmas is
so
doing stuff.
Classic. Mm-hmm. And right? So like it's just so good. I gotta pick Black Christmas.
I agree with that pick.
Especially if this is like a list of like essentials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. You know, I was close with Gremlins, but we want to make it more horrific for people. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so then out of James's pick, we have Better Watch Out, Silent Night, Deadly Night, the whole franchise, plus the remake, and Krampus.
Yeah, I mean, I love Krampus. It's a fun time. But like I said, Better Watch Out is my favorite Christmas horror movie. I have to pick it just because of how fresh it feels, how surprising it is, how like disturbing it is. And I got to go with that. And hopefully you guys agree. I know Krampus is great, but.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chelsea, what do you think?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I'm right there with you. I'm super biased when it comes to that movie. Better Watch Out. I feel like everybody needs to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope people really seek that out without looking. And don't look anything up. Don't look anything up. Just watch it. It's great.
So then the ones that I picked, Dead End, Anna and the Apocalypse, and P2. I'm thinking Anna and the Apocalypse. Because even from, you know, I feel like we have some horrific stuff that's going on. We need a musical. People need a musical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to have to follow your lead since we haven't seen any of them. But just as far as like being well known, I think Anna and the Apocalypse is definitely the one I've heard of most.
Yeah.
So it's done something to stand out. Whereas the other two, no matter how good they are, maybe they just haven't broken through for whatever reason. But Anna and the Apocalypse has captured people, and it's a perennial request every year for us to cover it.
Yes, that's the one where people are going to be mad we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so we created it. So we have Black Christmas, the 1974 version, Better Watch Out, and Anna and the Apocalypse. I think that this is this list is bomb. I love it.
That's
solid.
It's got a lot of different flavors to it too.
Yeah, which is
great.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And do you guys have any bonuses? Any ones that almost made your list?
Ooh. I mean, I don't know if it would have made my list, but I really liked the David Harper's
Violent Night.
Violent Night, yeah. I always forget what some of these are called because they have such the titles.
They blend. Together,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, that one, it's tough because it's like, is it a horror movie?
It's borderline.
It's very borderline. It's kind of like Upgrade was, where it's like, it's kind of action-y, but I mean, I don't know. It's got one of the best kills ever at the end. It's just such
I knew which one you were talking about.
Yeah, it's such a funny way to do that action.
It's just so surprising and so, it's such a great payoff. And also David Harbour in that movie.
Chelsea is so
funny. That's the most I've ever been into David Harbour or Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, Chelsea.
I mean, they know what they're doing with those gear-up shots.
It's just because he's like this ripped, like old, like mythological figure, but also he's taking care of this little girl, and like that just
and that's the other thing is the backstory it gives to that character is so great and just perfect for sequels. Give us more of this because it just touches on it a little bit, gives you a little taste.
Santa lore. I need more Santa lore.
Hell yeah. It's such a good amount that leaves you wanting more. And I hope we get more because it's great.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you think there will be a sequel?
It did really well,
did
right?
Did it do well?
Yeah. I think it did surprisingly well for what it is.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if we got a sequel. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you? Do you have any bonuses?
I did. I have three.
Well, ooh, okay.
Ooh.
Black Christmas. I love the 2006 one. I know. I know.
That movie has more popped eyeballs than I have ever seen in any other movie.
There's so many eyeballs. Like, it's insane. It's just gross, but I love it. And it has
an icicle kill, which you gotta have an icicle kill.
You do. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like the kills are so mean, you know?
Yeah.
I just love, and then Billy, like, I think they had him talking way too much. Like, he was calling, and it's just like, please stop. Like, but I just really enjoyed that one. And then another one from, I think it's from the 80s. Let me look it up real quick. Let me just type that in. Yeah, it is. Okay. Soul Survivor from 1983. I'm a big fan of It Follows. So yes. I've always felt like this one that, you know, the director, maybe he was inspired by Soul Survivor, or even with Final Destination, maybe they were inspired by it. So it's basically about this woman. She is the lone survivor of this plane crash. And then from there, she feels like death is following her. And it is, you know. Oh. There's a last scene that just kind of sticks with me. Again, so it reminds me of It Follows, Final Destination. It even has like Carnival of Souls like type of vibe that's going on. And okay. It's set during Christmas time. So it's weird because it was made in the 80s, right? But yeah. It does not feel like an 80s movie. It just feels kind of timeless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Zena, you are coming in with awesome recommendations. I'm so excited. Thank you. Oh,
thank you. I hope that you guys enjoy. And then just the last one.
Yeah.
A Christmas Tale from 2005. Paco Plaza. He directed Veronica, as well as some of the Wreck movies.
Ooh, I like Veronica. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he, oh my God, I just love him so much. This movie is basically about these kids. They find this woman in a pit. And I'll leave it at that.
Ooh,
and
it's just okay. One of those. Yeah, I got it.
Creepy stuff. But so that's our list. And, you know, I just want to, again, thank you guys for, you know, coming on and giving like your awesome recommendations and everything
Oh my gosh. Sorry for, I feel like I gave such basic.
I know, right? I feel like a surface level fan now.
Not at all. I think that we did like an amazing job with this.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we are on the Bloody Disgusting podcast. It's hard to find a name like Bloody Disgusting and Fangoria are like the titans of horror that we can only to hope to join one day. Because they're fantastic, and I'm so glad to be a part of it now with this podcast episode.
Yes. We're so glad to have you guys. Like, you know, I know that, you know, you're probably always asked all the time, and so I was just like, oh, man, I wonder if they'll be interested. So I was decided to reach out, you know, test my luck out, and I just really appreciate it, because you guys are killing it, you know, just really big fans of you both.
Yeah, we're big fans of you, too.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, so before we head out, I just want to remind our listeners that we do have like a giveaway that's going on. You can win a Bloody Disgusting bundle pack. All you have to do is just basically either send in a question. You can call us or text us. So that's at 224-475-1040. Or if you're shy or if you don't want to text, we're available on social media. So, you know, Be Disgusting Pod, you know, Be Disgusting Podcast, or you can send us an email at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. So again, thank you guys so much for coming on. Before I let you go, okay, I know where to find you on social media, but where can we find you on social media?
Best place to go for us is Dead Meat on YouTube. That's got our flagship series, The Kill Count, and the Dead Meat podcast, Chelsea Show, which is also available all places that podcasts are, like the audio-only version. But we do have the video element on YouTube.
Yes.
And on social media, at Dead Meat James is me on Twitter, and then just the our social media manager on TikTok and Instagram, because I can't be arsed to do more than one social media platform.
Yeah. And I'm at Carebeck, CAREBECC on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Nice. And one more question, because I'm nosy. Do you have any Thanksgiving plans?
I think it's the eighth or ninth year in a row that we do like a Friendsgiving. Because our housemate who we've lived with for, 8 or 9 years, he is like an incredible cook. And it's just like he could be a professional. Yeah, so he kicks us all out of our own kitchen and just takes over and just makes multiple turkeys and dishes for a group of like 15. And we do it every year. And then everyone else brings their own dishes. I make a mean green bean casserole. And we're going to try to do that butter beer. So, we have a standing Friendsgiving where it's like, you know, we have a lot of parties throughout the year where we try to have like huge blowouts where we're everyone's getting to meet each other and new people. And Thanksgiving, I think, is the best time for us to have like our closest friends in an intimate time where we can just like really hang out, talk, play games together. And it's nice to have that every year.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay. Well, I hope that you both have like a great holiday, and thank you again. And thank you to our listeners. So I'm just going to I always try to like, you know, come together at the end and be like my co-host, John, because he does the outro. And he just does such a great job. So grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. Okay, bye.